27 minutes after the hour, it is a therapeutic Thursday, now turning to a theological Thursday because Pastor Robbie Pruitt is with us, and he has a church in Fairfax, Virginia, lives in Ashburn, Virginia. He's also the executive director. That would be the ED. No, wait a minute. No. He's the executive director of Preserving Bible Times. And the topic today is Hebrew. The focus today is Hebrews 11. Now, Hebrews 12.
Hebrews 12.
Hebrews 11 has always been my focus. The faith is the substance of that things unseen. That's heavy duty stuff. It does not sound to me like Paul wrote it. Now I go to chapter 12. And therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, I don't remember him using that term before, but the phrasing sounds like Paul. Do we know who wrote the book of Hebrews?
Well, it's unknown. The scholarship is divided. There's many scholars who do believe that Paul wrote it and that he's keeping his identity out of it for a reason. And
well, it's strange to him, an epistle just to the Hebrews generally. Not normally you see his letter to a church for a reason.
And he notifies you who he is. He writes his name. He signs his letters.
Standard opening and close. It was good format back then. I don't see that same thing here.
Right. And remember, Paul is our evangelist to the Gentiles. And Peter is the evangelist to the Jews. And in my mind, that should be switched, because Paul was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He labels himself.
Well, this book is called Hebrews. Does that mean it's written to the Hebrews or written by a representative or an assumed representative of Hebrews? I don't.
Or to Jewish believers.
Yeah.
It's certainly presenting Jesus as the Jewish Messiah. And you've got Jesus is greater than the angels. Jesus is great, the greater prophet, priest, and king. And those three offices are predominant in Hebrews. So really, to me, if you read Hebrews and the Gospel of John together, you're doing a pretty good thing connecting Jesus as the Jewish Messiah and seeing the Hebrew background bringing light to the character and the nature and the person of who Jesus is. So the Jewish people were worshiping angels, were esteeming angels, and in chapter 4 of Hebrews, Jesus is greater than the angels. He's the greater prophet. He's the greater priest. He's the greater king. And so you get these offices that are built up and established in the Old Testament being fulfilled in Christ. And so some folks believe because Paul has so offended the Jewish people by converting that he is keeping his identity secret.
By palling around with Gentiles?
So that he could be heard. No, by palling around with Jesus, by claiming Jesus is the Messiah. Mm-hmm. So he's taking his identity out of the book to be heard and removing himself so that it isn't a stumbling block to the message. Now, I kind of buy that in some regards. I mean, I have been one of the ones who has been adamant that Paul did not write Hebrews. And I've been converted in my later studies that it is very likely that he does write Hebrews, and that rationale between him wanting to be heard by the Jews and the animosity towards him, that's a pretty good explanation of why he doesn't identify himself.
What's the basic message in chapter 12 here? It starts with the comment, therefore, which makes you want to go back and read chapter 11.
Right.
Yeah. Therefore, since we are surrounded.
That's a principle of biblical interpretation. Anytime you see the word therefore, you have to ask yourself, what's that therefore, therefore?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to read everything else has been a case. So the first 11 chapters is building the case to therefore.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do with this information? Now that I've given you all of this, Therefore, you know, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. This idea that the saints who have gone before us are present. And we believe this certainly as Christians, that absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, to quote Paul. So there is a great cloud of witnesses of the saints who have gone before. And so there's this cosmic out-of-time experience, particularly in the Catholic, Roman Catholic and Catholic. Anglicans are part of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. There's this picture of the communion table stretching into eternity. So we believe that every time we worship not only with the congregation before us, but the saints who have gone before us. So if you're in a church with five people, there's a multitude worshiping with you. There's all the saints. We're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. And we observe this on All Saints Sunday. If you're in the Roman Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, or the Anglican Church, in these apostolic churches that believe that, you know, we are surrounded in our worship.
Do you think Hebrews was written? If Paul wrote it, I'm guessing it had to be late, early 60s maybe. But, yeah, but how great could that cloud of witnesses have been in just 30 years since Jesus? I mean, the time frame of Hebrews seems to be far advanced beyond that time.
Great question. I mean, and you're getting back to the therefore. What just happened in chapter 11?
Well, right? There was some philosophical discussion about the nature of faith and proof and evidence and the basis for believing.
Yes. And who does the author cite? He cites the hall. It's called the Hall of Faith, right? Mm-hmm. Hebrews 11 is called the Hall of Faith. And there's a listing of Old Testament saints.
Mm-hmm. Old Testament.
So are they included?
So all those who came before since the beginning.
Right. So we're not talking about 30 years, are we? We're talking about all the way to Adam.
So the word saints then applies to whom?
Those who have died in the Lord.
Cain, Enoch, Noah, Abraham.
Yeah, you're reading them off, right, Dave? Mm-hmm. From the Hall of Faith, chapter 11.
Right. Back to the beginning. Okay.
They're all listed, Isaac, Joseph, Moses. They're all listed. Rahab.
Okay.
Oh, the Gentile prostitute, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
In Jericho, Rahab, they hid the spies.
Jericho, right.
She's there.
Yep, right, yep. David,
and this
Samuel.
Is talking about their faith, right? Remember, and it's also stated, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Mm-hmm. So how are we saved? How are we included in the great cloud of witnesses? It's what God does. It's our faith in God. So a lot of folks believe that, you know, maybe those folks aren't saved because this is pre-Jesus. Do we believe that the same God who saves 2,000 years ago, we were saved? So do we not believe that 2,000 years before the cross can be effectual?
Always been a stumbling block for me, because I have to believe that from the first humans, people were being saved.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, God saves us, right? And if the cross is effectual for me 2,000 years ago, why wouldn't it be effectual for Abraham 1,500 years before it happened?
Understanding that God exists outside of time.
Outside of time, or to quote R.E.M., out of time. You know, that famous
We're all part of the same package is what we are.
Yeah, so, I mean, and this is where I'm getting it. I'm not trying to make this up, and this can be controversial depending on your theology, but it's in Hebrews, right? Mm-hmm. This is the cloud of witnesses that is being referenced in Hebrews 12. And so, well, what about their sinfulness? What about their brokenness? I mean, you look at people like Moses. And Moses never entered into the promised land. That Abraham took God's promises into his own hands and slept with his maidservant. So if you start looking, or Noah got drunk and naked after the ark, you start looking at these people and you're thinking, these people are a mess.
David.
David sleeping with Bathsheba, killing Uriah. I mean, you can just go on and on and on with this. What do you know about these folks? Well, we're about to get into it in Hebrews 12. They are disciplined by the Lord. And we usually, when we think about discipline, we think about things like spanking, mm-hmm. or corporal punishment. And Hebrews tells us that God disciplines those whom he loves. Mm. And he always has, you know. So we've established that Hebrews is written to the Jewish people to show that Jesus is greater. It goes back all the way to these Old Testament heroes, the Hall of Faith. And again, it begins with the word therefore. So we ask, what is that therefore? Therefore, it's just to encapsulate the 11 chapters that have just gone before us. Since we are so surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, we should throw away every weight or sin that so easily entangles us. We should cast off these things that ensnare us, looking to Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. So Jesus is the one who gives us our faith. He's the one who perfects our faith. He's the one who saves us, no matter how we're, quote, behaving. And Jesus is the one who disciplines us, because he disciplines those whom he loves. And so we get this picture of people throughout the Hebrew Bible who have been in various stages of discipline, and I would add, in disarray. You know, they've been in disarray, therefore they have needed to be disciplined. And because Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith, and he, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We can consider him who endured from sinners such great hostility against himself, so that we may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And then it gets into this discipline, the book of Hebrews, starting at verse 4, that our struggle is against sin, and you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the exhortation that God addresses us as sons and daughters. Verse 6 says, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. He chastises every son whom he receives." So we have to look at what discipline is. It's where we get our word disciple. A disciple is our learner or student. And so to discipline, the true nature of discipline is to teach. So to teach right and wrong. So I've been thinking a lot about this in light of Hebrews 12. And if discipline is teaching, then we can be disciplined even when we're not doing anything wrong.
Hmm.
Have you ever thought about that?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. This idea that I can be disciplined and not having done anything wrong, meaning God can discipline me because I'm not 100% right. It's not that I'm doing anything wrong. It's I'm not doing the right things or not fulfilling.
Well, there's no such thing as a little bit of sin, you know? Sin is sin,
right,
is
right.
Sin. Yeah. This whole notion of a great cloud of witnesses is so comforting, because sometimes in this pursuit of our faith, that you feel so alone, and you're not. The whole one of the basic premise here is that you're part of a huge community, and you need to be an active part in that community, whether it's going to church or understanding this whole notion of a great cloud of witnesses. And Hebrews 12 is recommended reading here for everybody today. Robbie, again, the executive director of Preserving Bible Times, and the website, preservingbibletimes.org, is a good place to go, because there you'll find a whole lot of information about biblical context. You'll find explanations of context to help you read between the lines of your Bible. And we recommend a visit to it. You can sign up for the newsletter there. That's called Between the Lines, because the whole idea is biblical context enables you to read between the lines and understand your Bible the way the original audience would have understood it. And that's a good beginning point in any biblical study. So Robbie, again, preservingbibletimes.org. You got a newsletter coming out soon?
Yeah, August, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. We'll look forward to that too. Some great information from you, and we'll treasure that and look forward to next week, okay?
Joy and a privilege and a pleasure to be with you on the Broken Road as always, Jim and David. Thanks for having me on.
Have a great week. You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.